Hello and welcome to another edition of the SGR Coffee Break. This is episode 15. We are almost legal to drive at this point.
I guess we got our learner's permit.
Yeah, we're terrorizing all the viewers right now, or listeners and viewers, I guess, because we do have video, so.
Although, if we lived in Louisiana, we would be legal, because you can drive at 15 in Louisiana.
Oh, well, you know, you could also drive at 14 when I was in Michigan, if you had a farmer's permit.
So. No, there you go.
So I've been driving for a while. Yeehaw!
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It was a good time. So let's see. What are we talking about this week?
Well, there's a little game called Mortal Kombat 10 or Mortal Kombat X coming out next week. And Mortal Kombat's been around for a long time. And since I know that Chris is a huge fan of Mortal Kombat, And I had passing with Mortal Kombat. I think it would be fun just to kind of talk about Mortal Kombat memories, especially since, get excited, the mobile card game.
Came out today.
Mortal Kombat 10 is out today. It's free to play. Get excited.
I also heard that it also ties into the console game, too, that apparently you can unlock stuff. I haven't really read the articles because I was like, it's a mobile game. I don't know that.
But they don't know what you unlock. They just know that that the content ties into it.
Yep.
So I actually downloaded it on my iPad, so we'll see.
If it's anything like the DC Injustice game, it's a fairly easy kind of fighting game where you're swiping and all that. There's no virtual joystick to get.
Oh, thank God! I think it is by the same creators that did Injustice.
Oh well, then it's a pretty decent game. It looks really good too. So,
I'll be getting some of that on maybe today. Yeah. I haven't decided yet.
It's one of those things where you'll play for 10, 20 minutes and you're like, okay, I've had enough.
Well, but isn't that the whole point of a mobile game? Is that you're supposed to play it while you're taking a poop?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I won't be streaming that on the channel, so don't worry. Here's me in my bathroom.
I was going to say, what are you not going to stream? The game? Or are you taking a poop? Or
me playing the game while taking a poop.
Yes, please don't stream that.
Oh, Mortal Kombat. So we're going to skip over the shit games that, you know, nobody wants to talk
shit.
About.
Yeah.
So, Mortal Kombat. Man, this came out way back in the 16-bit days. So we're talking Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo days.
Like the 90s.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Okay. Back then, you had Street Fighter II, which, you know, that was, like, the big game, and then you had this, and then you had Killer Instinct, and then you had, like, Clay Fighter, and TMNT had a fighting game, but out of all the fighting games that were really around at that point, Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter were the two big ones. And Mortal Kombat 1 was kind of a big deal, not because it's Mortal Kombat and all that, it was because it came out on Sega Genesis and the Super Nintendo, but at that time, we didn't have ESRB ratings, and anybody that grew up with the Nintendo, the Ataris, that kind of thing, we all knew that Nintendo had no blood on their games.
Right. So
on Mortal Kombat 1, if you got it on Sega Genesis, you could throw in a blood code and unlock the blood. So that produced those giant, like, globules of blood that went everywhere. And the fatalities were actually pretty gruesome on the Sega Genesis. On the Super Nintendo version, you had pretty lame-ass fatalities, and there was no blood. It was like spurts of sweat, if I remember correctly. So my brother had a Sega Genesis, and I had a Super Nintendo. And it was a big, like, he was like, see, look at this, ha ha ha, we can do the blood. So, you know, we spent a lot of time just playing on his Genesis and doing the fatalities and ripping spines out and torching people and blowing them up with Raiden. And man, that was a good time.
My first with Mortal Kombat, because as I've discussed many, many times, my gaming background was very limited. I had an NES growing up, so I did not have a Super NES, and no, I did not have a Sega Genesis. But how I first learned about Mortal Kombat was through Time Magazine. Yes, my dad had a subscription to Time Magazine back then. And I remember I was in their bedroom. I don't know. I happened to look over where his stack of Time magazines, and I saw on the cover was about a video game. I was like, wow, I can't believe Time magazine's going to cover this. So I actually got out the magazine and started reading about it. And basically, it was a anti-Mortal Kombat article talking about how, you know, video games have taken things too far with the violence. And this was actually around the time that the infamous Beavis and Butthead fire incident happened. To people who are too young, there was this show Mike Judge did called Beavis and Butthead. And it was basically this really stupid, stupid show by these two guys who were total idiots. Just like watched music videos all day and commented during the music video. And then occasionally in the episode, they would like maybe leave the house and go do stuff or whatever. But they were really dumb. And they had really funny voices. And one of them liked to burn things. Not that he ever did any, he never really burned anything, but he'd get excited about fire. Well, two teenage idiots were seen outside of a burning building, and when the cops were trying to ask him what happened, they were imitating Beavis and Butthead and saying fire, the way that they said it. Which immediately started this whole thing about how Beavis and Butthead caused these kids to set the place on fire. It's like, okay, no. So they actually had to, so Beavis and Butthead couldn't do that, and they had to have this huge disclaimer in the front, like, you know, that you should never act like this, you know.
Yep.
Anyway, it was kind of crazy. And so with this Mortal Kombat thing, they kind of jumped on that. It's like, because I was right around that time. So everyone is super overly sensitive. You think people are sensitive now? I mean, but you're coming from an age where there was like none of this to suddenly the Beavis and Butthead incident and now Mortal Kombat. And basically it was just a way for the media and parents to latch on to pop culture to blame things. Because, you know, they've always been blaming violent movies, but now there's, like, you know, newer things that they can blame. I'm actually surprised they didn't blame stuff on Ren and Stimpy, as violent and crazy as that show was. But
I think it was because that was on cable, and let's face it, let's just date ourselves. There was, when we were growing up, there was really no PC crap, so you sat Indian style on the floor, you didn't sit cross-legged.
It's a crisscross applesauce.
Yeah. Well, whatever the fuck that is, but we sat Indian style.
Yes.
A lot of people didn't have cable, so Ren and Stimpy was on Nickelodeon. So, like a lot of people that I grew up with, we didn't know what Ren and Stimpy was until we went into the city and visited our friends there, and somebody was rich enough to have cable.
Well, Beavis and Butthead was also MTV, but so it also which was cable. So I think it was just at that time. You know, it was the first time that I guess cable shows were really appealing to teenagers.
There's a lot of other things. Okay, if we're going to lump all this in together, let's face it. This was also the time that people were getting beat up for their hat, their shoes, and their coat.
Yes.
You had the East Coast, West Coast rap rivalry thing going on. So right. You had everybody was pissed off about everything. Like, you couldn't turn anywhere without somebody being like, oh, that's terrible for you. So, just like...
Yeah. There was a lot of bad examples going on in pop culture, but like when any little thing happened that could possibly be blamed for horrible things, because there was a lot of horrible things going on. Like you were saying, the East Coast, West Coast. I mean, that whole thing was ridiculous.
Yep.
And kids getting shot for their shoes in school. And, you know, just people think the school shootings are new. They're not. They've been going around since I was a kid.
Really? Just been escalated to much higher body counts, but...
Well, yeah. Okay, but that's also, I could get into, you know, the different weapons that people are not locking up versus, you know, social media blowing it up out of, you know, larger than it could have been back in the day. I could, I ain't. But, so anyway, so I'm reading this article about Mortal Kombat, and it's talking about, it's listing, you know, what's in the fatalities. And I'm supposing as a parent it should have horrified me to hear that one of the fatalities was that you could behead someone, hold up their head, and their spinal cord was twitching. And ripping out, I think it was Sub-Zero's, you ripped out the heart.
Kano did that.
Okay. Well, seriously, I'm reading this, and I'm going, okay, that does sound pretty brutal. That sounds like a lot of fun. And like I said, I didn't have a Super Nintendo or a Sega Genesis, so I couldn't do any of that. But a few years down the line, Sega came out with their own handheld called a Game Gear. And it was, they were color, because back then there was just the original Game Boy, which was this brick. that was not even black and white. It was like yellow and black.
No, it was pea green and yellow.
Okay, pea green and yellow. And so this was like the first thing in color, and it was like really beyond its time. Fortunately, like, it also like loved to eat batteries, and the only way I could really play it is if I plugged it into a wall, which kind of defeated the whole purpose of having a handheld, but regardless. One of the games that I bought on there was Mortal Kombat. And now, the fatalities on there weren't... I never could execute them, because I couldn't figure out what you're supposed to do for it. But every time a fatality was executed on me, there wasn't really that bloody. Like, it would be kind of like the dripping of blood. Mm-hmm. But usually what would happen is the person would explode in a series of bones just shattering. There was never any, you know, heart beating and all that. But, you know, the blood was still there. But I would go over, but then a friend of mine had a Super Nintendo, and he had it, and not Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. Went over there and watched it. I was like, oh my god, this is so brutal. It looks like so much fun. Can I play? He's like, no. So, actually, he would let me play if he could use me to practice his moves, but that could be like his personal dummy.
Oh, brother. Well, let me,
So the last Mortal Kombat game I have played was Mortal Kombat 2 on the Game Gear. And on the Mortal Kombat 2 on the Game Gear, I was able, I guess, to beat the story mode where you go, like, you pick a fighter. And how it ran was you picked a fighter and you went all the way through the series of the tournament and, you win and blah, blah, blah. And depending on which character you used, you might have gotten a different little ending. Because I could only do it with Liu Kang was the only one I could win it with. For some reason, I couldn't defeat anybody else. I couldn't use anybody else. So the first game, I never could get through because you got to a certain point where, like, you go through everybody, and then you would have to do, like, tag team, but you were by yourself. So you defeat one asshole, and then they tag somebody else in. And by then, like, you know, my health was, like, you know, itty bitty bitty, and they would just do one foot sweep and that was it.
Oh, brother.
Or that, and somehow they got better after I kicked their ass in the beginning, and now they were tag team. They're like Johnny Cage is always so easy, and the tag team, oh no, he's a badass.
Oh, man. Well, I got really excited, actually. So, because Mortal Kombat 2. This was a huge thing. If you were a Nintendo fan, Mortal Kombat 2 was a big deal because it was, if I am not mistaken, it was the very first game on a Nintendo platform to contain blood. And this is, I mean, we had the ESRB come out. So think about it this way. Between 92 and 93 is when the ESRB finally came into play. So also now you get the, you know, the teen, the mature, they have an AO for adult only, I don't think E. I think it was like child or something like that. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we finally have ESRB in place. We finally have ratings on our games. And now Nintendo embraces the blood of Mortal Kombatness, and we have glorious violence. And this was really, it was the first couple Mortal Kombats, every time they implemented a new one, it was a really good change. Mortal Kombat 2, we brought in more characters. You started seeing Snake. You started getting the hidden characters. Was it 2 or 3 that brought in the Babels and Fatalities and Friendships? And anyway, between 2 and 3, they kind of brought in some of that new stuff, too. We started seeing a lot more hidden characters. You got a lot more of the, like, the Toasty, the little developer guy that would come up out of the corner, you know, Toasty and all that.
okay.
In two, you started getting the pit fatalities where you could actually fight up on a bridge, and then you could, instead of executing your normal character fatality, you would execute a pit fatality, and it would knock them up in the air, they'd fall through the bridge, land in a pile of spikes, blood be everywhere. It was great. We also saw, you know, a nice bit of visual updating from between Mortal Kombat 1 and Mortal Kombat 2. Let's face it, Mortal Kombat 1 was, the color palette was kind of blah, and the character portraits were kind of clunky. Then we go to Mortal Kombat 3, and all of a sudden, again, we have a bunch of new characters, so our character selections are getting much better, although, yes, they were pretty lazy, because, like, you'd have Smoke and Reptile and Sub-Zero and Scorpion, and it was basically just palette swaps with a little bit of You know, some of their moves may have switched up a little bit, but it was basically cut and paste. So we had Katana and Melina and Katana,
but at least they were twins, so it kind of made
And one was more like had the alien feature, so.
And like Scorpion and Sub-Zero, like their backstory, like I understood why they looked, you know, why they were dressed similar, because their backstory, that's something I loved about the Mortal Kombat games, just kind of.
Yeah, the storylines, although they've kind of cut it now, but they're.
Well, it's like, I got the, you know, these, back when they had instruction booklets, you know, for the first Mortal Kombat game for the Game Gear, I sat and read that thing, I don't know how many times, just delving into the stories of why they were there. It was just so cool to me. And so anyway, like, so Scorpion and Sub-Zero, it made sense why they looked similar. Yep. But then when I got to Mortal Kombat 2, and they had reptiles, like, what the fuck? Why do we need a green ninja?
Yeah, and then they brought in Smoke, which was a gray ninja. Yeah, it kind of got a little carried away with the ninjas. But so you had Mortal Kombat 3 come out. This also introduced the ceiling fatalities, where there were a couple stages you could actually knock them up. So instead of having spikes in a pit, you had spikes on a ceiling. It was pretty awesome.
So just like a good uppercut?
Yeah, and I believe it was 3 then that also brought in the beta abilities, the friendships and all that, which I really wish that they would have kept that throughout the rest of the games, because that was hilarious. There was nothing like sitting on the couch with your friend talking shit, and then they're like, oh, what are you going to do? You going to eat my head off? And you're like, no, I'm a Trinino baby. And you had the stupidest, babality. Like, the announcer's voice was ridiculously stupid. It was just hilarious. And then if you did, like, a friendship, you'd pop out a little toy, and these balloon bubble letters would come up and be like, friendship. You're like, oh, Jesus.
Okay. My only complaint with the friendship is that I wish that the defeated character would react.
Yeah.
Instead of just still sitting there, like, you know, like they're doing the whole time waiting for you to kick their ass. Just to, like, you know, because, you know, because when they, like, that one where he reaches into a top hat and pulls out a bunny, I mean, come on, you gotta have someone react to that. It's just kind of stupid without it.
Yeah. We also saw, between Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3, we saw a different setting on how the fatalities worked. Mortal Kombat 1, you had the whole jump distance, sweep distance, foot distance, all that kind of crap. I believe it was 3 that you, and 2 carried the same thing. I think 3 is the one where they actually changed it over, that you could basically execute a fatality anywhere on the screen, and your character, it would just do the fatality. So, I mean, those 3 games were a huge aspect of my fighting game. That's between this and Street Fighter, which then became Street Fighter 2, because I never played Street Fighter 1, because that was a Genesis-only game. Street Fighter 2, I started off on that, then moved up to Super Street Fighter 2, then Ultra Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. I forget. Anyway, but these two, Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat series, are, you know, kind of what got me started on fighting games. After that, we kind of moved into the PlayStation era, and the N64 era, where they kind of dropped an MK trilogy, which is, I mean, it's just kind of like an expansion of Mortal Kombat 3. So I did play this, but this is also about the same time that we started seeing 3D games come into play. So now you started bringing in Tekken's and Virtual Fighter and all that. So 2D fighters kind of started having to figure out what the hell they were going to do with themselves. Let's see. Let's kind of go along the line here. I'm skipping all the shit that was terrible, like Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero. Never played it, because it was terrible. Special Forces. Yeah. You got, I played Unchained, which was the one on PSP, but it was so clunky on the PSP. It just, I'd never really got into that one. Let's not discuss DC Universe.
If you really want a really good history on Mortal Kombat, go to YouTube and look for Mortal Kombat Honest Trailers.
Yep.
Because they go through, like, basically everything you need to know about Mortal Kombat and what it has done and how it has changed. It was, yeah. Because they even get into, let's not discuss, like, all these games. Like, in the one Mortal Kombat game, we pretend never happened. And they say, versus Mortal Kombat.
Well, Okay, so when they announced DC Universe, I got really excited. I was like, oh, sweet, like Superman destroying the shit out of Scorpion. And then all of a sudden you start thinking about it. You're like, wait, Superman doesn't kill. So, like, Superman ripping somebody in half, how are they going to write that into the storyline? How does that even play out? And then you find out, yeah, their fatalities were no violence. And there was basically no killing. You couldn't kill Batman. You couldn't kill Superman. Superman couldn't take out Raiden. It had a great potential, and I really liked the fact that they had, instead of up and down stages, you had sideways moving stages, so you can knock each other through the walls. And this is kind of what brought up what comes into Injustice now, where you're knocking people through into different arenas going sideways. But man, it was so good. But this was a teen rated game, and it felt like they were sticking it to the Mortal Kombat fan base, because Mortal Kombat have always been a mature rated game.
Mm-hmm.
And to have all suddenly they're like, this is a teen game, you're like, what? Okay, oh, there's really not going to be any bloods or fatalities in any real sense. I mean, they had fatalities, but they were called brutalities is what they were. Like, you know, Superman would just beat the shit out of you, and you're like, okay, that was anticlimactic. We've been beating the shit out of each other for 45 seconds now, so.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get to the one that really restored the faith, and that was Mortal Kombat. They didn't put a number behind it, because this is essentially the Mortal Kombat that came out on the 360 and the PS3. Also, it came out on Vita. It's not on next gen, but this really brought it. This they went back to the roots. Again, we're back in a 2D kind of fighting space, but everything looks like it's rendered 3D, and they really went back to the roots, brought in a lot of fun, made the game look absolutely amazing. Just, I spent a lot of hours on this one, because I didn't feel like I was, you know, back in my NES or my SNES days, because I mean, you still had all that brand newness of the franchise, but they really dug back into the roots and made it happen, and it was really, really good. And that brings us to Mortal Kombat X, which I am super stoked for. And man, I have watched all of their stupid trailers.
You hook, line, and sinker, huh?
Oh man, I am so in this. I realize that storyline is gonna be dumb, and I'll still play it, but I realize that that's gonna be dumb. But man, they took Mortal Kombat, the redo in 2011. Man, you know, they kind of upped their game with the fatalities on that, because we haven't really seen a good set of fatalities in next gen. So, man, the stuff that I've seen for MKX, oh, man, more blood, more bone crushing. Oh, the X-ray vision thing that came out with Mortal Kombat, oh, man, I remember just spending hours just like, okay, I'm going to bone crush, because that just looks awesome. And you get the X-ray vision, see their neck breaking, and you're like, but they can't. They should be like paralyzed after that. Oh well, fuck it. Let's just keep going.
But they're mortal combatants.
Yes.
Neck breaking. It's a big deal. Fighting on.
And really, what I think, why I think they decided to do the reboot, A, is to kind of get rid of that bad aftertaste that was, you know, Mortal Kombat DC. But also, the mythos of the game is that really you're only supposed to have 9 Mortal Kombats, and you're fighting for Earthrealm, and you know, the after 9, either, you know, Earthrealm or the Netherrealm, it's one of them is going to be done. So I think that's why we kind of saw a little bit of a reboot. I can remember being in college and sitting down with my PlayStation 1 and my Dreamcast, actually, because I had a friend that we would sit down and play Soul Calibur on Dreamcast, and we'd play for hours on end. But
Soul Calibur was fun. I had that on the GameCube.
Oh, I've owned almost every version. In fact, on the GameCube, when Soul Calibur did the whole, you got special characters based on which edition you got, so you could have Link, Spawn.
That's why I got it on GameCube.
Yeah, and then they had Darth Vader and Yoda and, like, Soul Calibur 4, something like that, where you could get either Yoda or Darth Vader, and then eventually it just came out that you could play them both with DLC. Yeah, DLC. Well, they couldn't just include it, but anyway. Man, the hours that we would also sit down just... We would actually just stop fighting each other and let one or another beat each other up just so we could just practice our fatalities. We would just spend hours sitting on the floor friggin' fatalitying it up. So, I'm super stoked for this one next week. I am so stoked, in fact. I will be doing an unboxing video of the $150 Collector's Edition. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
So, that means I get Jason Voorhees and Predator. Oh, yeah. I'm so happy about that. So happy for that. Oh. Yeah. Mortal Kombat is...
You'll be okay?
Probably. I'll probably pull like a little Blake there for a minute, and then I'll realize I'm pulling a Blake and get a hold of myself.
But, well, I'll be playing too, so.
Yeah, yeah, foot sweep, failed fatality, victory, flawless victory.
I don't see what the problem is. Official Mortal Kombat 10 fight pad?
No.
For the PlayStation 4.
I have not.
It is kind of sweet.
You know, well, let's just face it, we're discussing fighting games now. So, I really wish that we would see... So, I watch a lot of fighting game streams. This is, last weekend I watched NorCal Regionals. And before that, it was Final Round. Anyway, I wish that we would see a lot... I know NetherRealm doesn't have the bulk that Capcom does, so, you know, we're never going to see a NetherRealm Cup, but...
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice to kind of see Mortal Kombat brought up. And now we have so many fighting games. There are so many anime fighting games. And, now you got Street Fighter. And there's still a good Injustice. You have a huge Smash following. So there's just a huge amount of Smash games always being played. And I just, you know, Injustice, when it came out, you saw that for a little bit. And then it kind of disappeared. You saw Killer Instinct, which was an Xbox One game. You saw that come out. And Killer Instinct, by the way, when that came out on Super Nintendo, that was the shit. Man, because all of their stupid combo strings that you could do, and just, it felt so unfair, but at the same time it was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Marvel vs. Capcom come along and really show you what combo strings were like. But, yeah, I wish we could see a lot more when they're streaming video game tournaments that you would actually see a little bit more. And I know that Team Spooky and Capcom Fighters are basically the two that are doing the bulk of it, of the work. But it'd be nice to see a little bit more of that. So, Mortal Kombat 10 next week. So hype!
I'm really looking forward to it. Because you're going to be reviewing the strategy guide. And I will be reviewing the game for work. So we may have to play against you. I guess, are you getting on PS4?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to play against each other. You can see how awful I am. It'll be fun. Maybe we'll even stream it. Watch Carrie suck at fighting games.
Oh, by the time I get the AverMedia thing, it'll be... Oh, that's nice. That's a controller with a PS3 and PS4 Switch. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Told you it was kind of cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting a PS4.
I just didn't know if you were going to be all PC Master Race.
No.
Not this time?
No, I mean, I own Mortal Kombat on the PS3 and on PC, and I like it on PC and Vita. Let's face it, I own it on Vita too. It's nice. The thing that sucks about fighting games is that the netcode runs so much better on PC.
Okay.
So there's a lot less lag on the PC. So if you're doing a combo string, you're not limited because you have like a 2-millisecond, 3-millisecond delay. But the player base is so much smaller on PC.
Well, yeah, because I would just figure that it's actually more intuitive and easier for people with controllers because of, you know, the cabinets and the fight sticks. When I think of fighting game, I usually think of, like, a cabinet, an arcade cabinet, not a PC with a keyboard and mouse.
And what, I mean... Ultra Street Fighter 4 on PC is a is a lovely thing, because you can actually make some mods so that way you can change the stage music to whatever you want it to be, and they're the lag difference between the PC and the PS3 was vastly, it was much, much better on PC. But, yeah, I mean, and you can play with, like, on the PC, you just get a 360 fight stick, and you plug it into your PC, and now you have your fight stick.
Well, I guess it's true, too.
So, but I think some of the other thing is that a lot of players will play on, at the pro level, they play on whatever the standard system is for the tournaments. So, like, Ultra Street Fighter 4 is usually on Xbox 360. The PS3/PS4 usually gets a lot of the anime games.
Mm-hmm.
You also had Dead or Alive 5. That's pretty much standardized onto the PS4. So I think that's why you'll see a lot of players kind of do that. Some of the higher-ups will also switch. So that way, because then they get a much bigger competition base if they're constantly switching systems. So, like, one day they'll play on 360, the next day they'll play on PS3, the next day they play on PS4, then they'll jump on PC. So, but yeah.
Well, speaking of Mortal Kombat, I actually, because my shopping ban is over, the lens is over. So yesterday I got Mortal Kombat for the Vita.
Woo-hoo!
And I played, like, one match yesterday before my kids were like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, you're not watching this. And then I had to go work on Final Fantasy Type-0. But, yeah, I'm really rusty at the fighting game. But I figure with every fighting game, there's this big learning curve.
Well, you're also playing on a Vita, so it's a little bit more of a learning curve.
Yeah.
Because it's so much smaller in your hand.
At the same time, it's like, oh, like, just the childhood memories of playing on my Game Gear just kind of came rushing back. So don't have much to say about it right now, because, like I said, I just played, like, one match. And that's one game I really don't want my son watching. Yeah. So I've been playing more Final Fantasy Type-0. I'm almost done with it. I know I said that last time, but then I didn't play for blah, 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 whatever reason. But yeah, I'm kind of ready to be done with it, I think I got the ending spoiled for me today on Twitter, but that's okay. I kind of saw that coming to begin with. But then I'm also playing Axiom Verge.
Which I'm very curious as to why you're playing Axiom Verge, because if I remember correctly, this is one of those games that we talked about, I don't know, two episodes ago.
See, and I don't remember talking about it. I guess it's one of those things like, like when the reviews came out, people were talking about it, and it's like, you know, this is like one of the games of the year, and it's just, you know, platformer, and I was looking at it, and I was like, maybe I should review that. And my boss said, yeah, I think you should, and considering I made him do Ori and the Blind Forest, I'll do Axiom Verge. And, you know, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Well, I've heard a lot of praise for it, and we should also note, at this particular moment, this game is done by one dude. He did all the coding, all the art, all the music, all the animation. Every aspect of this game is done by one guy.
That is kind of amazing. I knew it was an indie, like a small team, but I realized it was one person. I mean, it reminds you so much of Metroid.
Yep.
And just the verticality is what reminds me of Metroid, just the going up. But unlike most platformers, from what I've played, it hasn't really required much skill with the platforming because the game focuses more on exploration aspect. So yes, there are some puzzles that are, you know, they have to solve through what gun you have and platforming and things, and, you know, trying to think outside of the box with stuff. Just to progress, but the most part, like, even though I have died a lot, I've had a lot of fun with it. And, you know, it's because the last Metroid game I played was the original Metroid, and that was the game that when you died, you started over. And this at least has those save points. It's almost kind of like Bioshock in a way, because when you locate these little containers, when you die, you get reborn.
Yep.
This whole thing, the first time it happens, he's like, what was that? He's like, you died, but we brought you back. He's like, what? So it is one of those, like, scientist, something goes wrong, wakes up, has no idea where he is, what time it is, what's going on, and he gets this mysterious voice saying, there's a gun in the next room, go get it, and then the voice disappears. He's like, what the hell? But that's kind of cool because because exploration is so important, so that's kind of how you unravel what's going on by exploring every little room. And exploring every little room also gets you, the weapon upgrades, the health upgrades, which I sorely need. And,
I look forward to hearing what you say after you beat a boss, or try to beat a boss, or two.
I've done a boss.
Oh, well then.
That's where I died a lot.
I also heard that from the streams that I've watched, it loads really fast, too. Like, there is no loading screen. You die, and it basically, back at your save egg. I just call them an egg, because that's what they look like.
It pretty much is a save egg, yeah. Yeah.
And I probably should have snagged this before it was $2 more expensive. Damn it.
Well, this is one of those, pretty soon it's going to go on cross-buy on the Vita.
And it'll probably be a Vita or PS Plus kind of thing at some point down the road.
Yeah, because the PS Plus stuff got announced like last week. I saw Killzone Mercenary was on there. I'm like, son of a bitch! I haven't played that game yet, but I bought it with the hopes of playing it. It's like, I just need to stop buying Vita games. I just need to stop it, because eventually...
Well, no, you need to buy the JRPGs, because those are... Yeah, there's a lot of those, but they're never on... PS Plus.
No, that's true. Actually, though, one JRPG I do want to get for the Vita eventually is Freedom Wars. Because I heard that was just silly fun. Yeah, not silly, but just,
stupid fun.
Yes. Just like kind of off the wall, like, this doesn't make any sense. Oh, well, you JRPGs!
Oh.
Which is kind of how Square Enix does things anyway. It's like, oh, Square, you so silly.
Well, then maybe I'll hold off on Axiom Verge. I'll wait till they get everything out there.
I don't know when it's going to go to Vita, but they said it's going to go to Crossbuy. They said soon.
Oh, well then. Crossbuy for the win.
Yeah, what have you been playing?
See, still rocking the space simulator called Elite Dangerous. I've decided that because I don't have a way to stream my PS4 yet. That's all the Twitch is going
to
be.
Okay, when you said that, I don't understand why you don't have a way to stream it, because there's this frickin' share button, and you move on.
Whatever. Why do you have to be like that?
Because I honestly don't understand. Like,
you get better quality if you're pulling it off of your HDMI. I've seen the stuff that... And you can set up... if I pull it into my PC, I can actually set up like the overlay, so we can actually have SGR branding. We can put me in a specific corner, so that way every time we switch a game, you can rearrange it so that way you're not interfering so much with the UI of the game. If you're just sharing it off of the PlayStation, you're not really able to do any of that.
Okay, I feel like I need to go get a Twitch Streaming for Dummies book or something, because I thought it was just so simple. You just press the share button.
Well, it is.
Yeah. And if you have the camera, then you can have, yourself up in the corner and talking and whatever.
And, if you were playing, if you were playing a fighting game, your picture might actually, if you're just using the share button off the PS4, all suddenly your face, and you have the camera, your face is now on a health bar, and that could be very vital. Or it could be, how many lives you have left, or if you have a skill that you're trying to power up. So, that's why, I've been watching a lot of Twitch, so there's a specific way that I think if we were going to do this, we should try to make it somewhat, right? So I'll get the favor.
I'm so ashamed.
I mean, maybe the first couple streams, yes, I'll use the share button just so that way you can play the game. Like, I'll stream Bloodborne, maybe. Or GTA 5.
I feel so old, Chris. I'm like, you kids. Your newfangled ways.
Right, yes, because you're so much older than I am.
No, but I'm just saying, I'm just saying that's how I feel, because I hear people talk about what you have to get for the streaming. What Blake, how he set up stuff for streaming off the PS3 for Extra Life, and was like, I have no idea what the hell you're doing, and I don't know if it's because, you guys are more into the tech stuff than I am, or just...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe the first couple, the test ones, I'll just stream it off of the PS4, and we'll call it good on that. But, yeah, eventually we will. I'll get an actual capture card, pull it into the PC, so that way we can kind of get all of the branding stuff going on and all that other fun stuff. Anyway, that's beside the point. I also played more GTA 5 with my brother. Finally bought my big-ass F650 in the game, so now my garage is full of nothing but redneckness. It's amazingly awesome. We were out in the desert somewhere, and there were, like, these two rust bucket cars, and I was like, oh, we gotta steal those. One of them had, like, a trash barrel and a board in it, so we steal it. We're getting shot, and we drive by one that just has a couple tires, and it's like, oh, I want that one. That one's better. And my brother's like, wait, no, over here there's one with nothing in the bed of the truck. You should take this one. It's like, okay. So filled up my garage with some kick-ass vehicles. Also played more Helldivers. Found out what happens when you finally end the war. It just starts another one. If the war ends while you're away, you kind of come in. It's like, hey, congratulations, you won the war. It's like, I did two fights. I don't know how I helped, but hey, great. Congratulations to me. Oh, we're starting all over. Okay.
Okay, that's interesting. I haven't played Helldivers since I tried on the Vita, but okay, that's kind of disappointing.
If you play it a lot, you get to see all the stuff, but what happens is that every time you come in, you know, because it's a persistent thing, so as people beat off worlds and all that stuff, you kind of get thrown into wherever it is that the current war is fighting, so...
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
So if you wanted to see some of the earlier planets, you need to kind of play a lot so that we can see where the war is at. But
is that just tricked into an MMO?
Not really.
Sounds that way.
I mean, it's an MMO in the fact that, yeah, there's a bunch of... I mean, it's constantly online and all the players are helping, but it's not MMO in the way that it's just like... I mean, yeah, you level up your character, but it's... And you kind of... get some, like, you're trying to level up your character, buy stuff and all that, but it's
constantly changing because of...
Right, but if you're playing it all the time, like, when I came, I logged in, had the war end, started off at one of the new areas, and so it already had a planet that I'd already fought, so it just moves me on to the next planet. I can't go back to the other planet that I already completed to try to better my score, so... Just it moves you on to the next planet, so I don't know. It's an interesting game for a twin stick shooter. To me, it's hilarious just to sit there and watch the death counters go. Really, that's the best part. I played a lot of Bloodborne, a lot. I'm actually just grinding out Blood Echoes at this point. I've beaten the second boss, did that within the second try, and I have to say, the people that are saying Bloodborne is hard, you should really try a Souls game, because Bloodborne is kind of a cakewalk compared to a Souls game. In Dark Souls 1, I was only able to... And so when I talk about one shot, it's basically beat the boss in one try. So if you two-shot a boss, it means it took you two tries. So I two-shotted the second boss on Bloodborne. I two-shotted the first boss. On Dark Souls, on the original Dark Souls, you could one-shot a boss, but you had to climb up a tower and utilize falling down, and you had to perform it pretty skillfully in order so that way the boss didn't actually kind of trick you. But after that, I'd never two-shotted a boss in any Dark Souls or Demon Souls game. It usually took at least 5 or 6 times to kind of learn what to do. Bloodborne, you can pretty much walk in there, and their patterns are pretty easy to figure out within a couple swings. You may get hit and you may come close to dying, but if you have enough potions, you can pretty much heal yourself up and run back. I think what kills me more on Bloodborne is the camera gets so screwed up at times where you just can't see what the hell's going on. You can't tell if you're trying to roll someplace and you're hitting a wall and you can't figure out why because you can't see it and you have to roll into the boss and then you get stuck on something else. The cameras on some of this, the camera angles on these are terrible. But yeah, if you think Bloodborne is hard, but you're having fun with Bloodborne, you should definitely try out a Souls game to see what hard really is, because the Souls games are way more punishing. Way more punishing. I will say, though, Bloodborne is still just a ton of fun. And I don't know if that's because the difficulty is turned down a little bit, and I'm having more fun just kind of rolling around and, you know, killing things, and it there's a lot more exploration that I'm doing without worry of, okay, I have to remember, if I die, this is the route I took, and I have to be able to get my souls back, whereas this one, I'm just like, you know, if I die, I lose a couple thousand souls, I can pretty much easily make it up just getting back to where I'm at. So, and the world is still just fantastic. I bet, I was talking to Ross, and there's this part where you go into the old city, mm-hmm. and there's this guy else only comes up, and he's like, this town is dead, there ain't nothing here but monsters, you should just leave, your hunters are not welcome here. And you're like, well, fuck you. So you start fighting it, and then he's like, oh, well, you're a good hunter, and all of a sudden there's this dude on a machine gun in a fucking tower way the hell off where you can't, like, you can't shoot him, because your pistol at this point is pretty shitty, so you're just like, oh, right. So you get shot, I was like, oh, damn it, okay, this is going to be a fun one. So, you know, you're kind of going through that, and you're making your way through all these crumpled down buildings, fighting stuff, and there's this sense of urgency and tension that they built up really well in this area, because you have no idea where he can actually see you from, like mm-hmm. the angles, and so all of a sudden you'll be standing you think you're in a covered building, and all of a sudden you're getting shot in the head, and you're like, oh, shit, and then something jumps out of a corner, and you're like, oh, damn it, make it all stop. But, and then when you die, he's like, huh, see, you probably shouldn't have been here. And I'm like, huh, fuck you, I'm going to kill your ass. What's going to happen? So, yeah, it's just a ton of fun and stupid stuff like that they do that makes it, yeah, they definitely need to tweak their loading screen, and they definitely could have, I'm looking.
Well, you know the loading screen's going to come in a patch. So.
Yeah, I've heard. And I know a lot of people are like, just bring that fucking patch out now. Just bring the patch out now. But
well, they had to fix that one progression problem first.
So I'm really looking forward to completing this one and then starting on a new game plus. And what I'm hoping is that new game plus or new game plus one or two will actually bring in that difficulty that, you know, I'm still kind of craving. But at this point, I'm just enjoying the ride. So mm-hmm. I'll continue to do that. And that's what I've been playing. So take us out of here, Carrie. Take us out.
Okay. Well, in case you couldn't figure out, we have a Twitch channel. Yay! It is twitch.tv/strategyguidereviews. Really complicated. If you don't have anything up there yet, we're still monkeying around with it. I'm hoping maybe we can use it to do that thing that I talked about after Chris came and visited me, where he plays Dragon Age Origins, and I'm kind of tapped in on Skype and watching the horror unfold before me.
We could probably do that.
Yeah. Hopefully he's not going to clog it up full of Elite Dangerous. I mean, come on,
I promise I'm not going to clog it up with Elite Dangerous. I'm actually looking at games that we can do that are, you know, a little bit higher on the viewing channels list. So as much fun as I have with Elite Dangerous, I know things like Bloodborne, GTA 5.
Mm-hmm.
I won't do Helldivers, but maybe we could do that one night where we... we'll do a couple. Maybe we should set a night aside when we get this rolling to do the DAO playthrough.
That sounds good.
I also want to stream Pillars of Eternity, so.
Yeah, and stream. Yes, definitely stream that. And then we, you know, we'll have to play some Mortal Kombat 10 and show how awful I am. I can be your dummy. You can practice your fatalities
on
me.
You.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh man, I'm gonna have to. Let me just get these. Knuckles all warmed up.
We're going to title the broadcast that Chris practices his fatalities on Gary.
Oh, that'll be good.
So, but we will have more announcements on that, hopefully very, very soon. But if there's anything else you'd like us specifically to talk about, and leave us a comment on this post, or you can email us at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com. And follow each of us on Twitter. Chris is at Starvin, at EN, and I'm at Crunchy Chocobo. And you also follow the site at Strategy Reviews. And, of course, we ask that you keep on reading SGR. This should be having a couple of reviews this week. I need to knock out Final Fantasy Type-0 so I can get back into Pillars. I miss Pillars, man. Pillars was so great. I miss it. I wonder how many times I'm going to die. playing Pillars, because it's been a while.
Oh, the skill has faded.
Yes. Hey, it is a skill. Mm-hmm. It really is. You got to click just right and learn how to pause.
Yep.
Embrace the pause button.
Embrace it.
That's right. All right. Well, we shall talk to you all next week, and we should have some more Mortal Kombat memories to talk about, but we won't make this Mortal Kombat memories part two. Unless we just love Mortal Kombat 10 so much, we have to talk about everything about it.
That could happen.
It could happen.
It could happen.
Yep.
That is a reality. And with that, we're out. Later.